1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. And when you find that, Hebrews 11, 6 as well. Two passages I want us to take from where we were 2 weeks ago in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I want to transition to a verse in Hebrews chapter 11. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul writing to the believers at Thessalonica says, "Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." We looked at that verse 2 weeks ago. I want us to focus on that part again that says, how ye ought to walk and to please God. With that in mind, now go with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and notice what it says in verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Please whom? God. "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I believe that faith is the missing ingredient. It's what is lacking. You'll read the book of Hebrews, and time and again, the author of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, is saying, he's talking about unbelief and the sin of unbelief. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Do you know anyone who is impossible to please? Maybe your wife, maybe your husband, maybe it's your boss, your parents, maybe it's a teacher. If you are asked to describe such a person, how would you describe them? And as you think about that, think about this. If they are hard to please, who are sinners, how hard would it be to please God? People try to please God. They expend all kinds of energy in rituals, the performance of good deeds, being good once in a while, maybe even going to church, doing good things, thinking that they're going to please God, to please him. And I want that first part of that verse to be ringing in your ears as you leave today. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. If you only knew of one thing that was sure to please God, would you be interested in knowing what that would be? It's faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, what's the previous verse? Who's the previous verse about? By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. You know the story of Enoch in the Old Testament. Let's just go back to Genesis chapter 5 and review a little bit. Genesis chapter 5, where it talks about Enoch and this long list of genealogies where it says, and such begat such, and he died. And he died is a recurring phrase. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. What does it say there? And Enoch what with God? He walked with God, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch, here it is again, walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God. Now, thinking back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, what are the two things that Paul puts together when he writes to the church at Thessalonica? How ye ought to walk and to please God. Enoch walked with God. And it says in the last part of verse 6, I'm back to Hebrews now again, the last part of verse 5, He was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. It's interesting that Enoch walked with God and he pleased him. Enoch had the kind of a walk with God that it pleased him. That walk had to include faith, because the very next verse, leading off of verse 5, says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Enoch pleased God. How did he do it? Because Enoch was a man of faith. And you know this chapter, it's called, to some, the Hall of Faith. I want us to see three things about pleasing God from this one verse, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Number one, faith required. Faith required, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Therefore, faith is required. If something is required to please God, you better know what that thing is. So what is faith? Well, faith is not blind optimism. It is not thinking positive as you step into darkness hoping there's no drop-off. Faith is not blind optimism. Faith is not a manufactured, well, I hope so type feeling with my fingers crossed. That's why sometimes people will say, well, some days I feel saved, other days I don't feel saved. Some days I feel saved, and they say that because everything seems to be going in their favor. And just so long as things are going smoothly, they feel like they're saved and they're on their way to heaven. But then when something comes along that's negative, a negative circumstance, a hardship, all of a sudden, you know what, I don't feel saved anymore. Well, you are never commanded to live by your feelings. It is not your feelings that please God. It is faith. Faith is really for those times when it's difficult. And you know what? Wow, I just don't know. You know what? That's when you say, you know, but I still believe God. I still believe him. Some people feel saved some days because things are going in their favor. They're living by feeling. It's an emotional roller coaster. Faith is not just an intellectual assent to doctrine. Somebody's saying, well, I agree with what the Bible teaches. You can agree with the Bible and not have faith. Faith is not believing in spite of the evidence. That's what some people look at faith as. Well, I believe, you know, the evidence is all against it, but, you know, okay. It's more superstition. How many remember Y2K? Yeah. Remember what that was all about? It was really a lot of superstition. People could be presented with all the evidence that, hey, we're prepared, don't worry about it, and still they believed it was some kind of a conspiracy. Something was. It was superstition. That is not faith. Faith is solid. How do we know it? Because you go back to the description of faith in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Notice it does not say that faith is hope. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance is the same word translated earlier in the book of Hebrews. It's translated confidence. It literally means, that word substance, to stand under. Faith is the standing under of things hoped for. It's like somebody said, faith is to a Christian what a foundation is to a house. The foundation gives confidence and assurance that the house will stand. Faith is the confidence and the assurance that you will stand. How many people I talk to who say, I sure hope I'm going to heaven? Folks, that is not faith. That's a false hope. Bible faith says, I know I'm on my way to heaven. Now, people look at that and they say, you're arrogant. No, I'm just trying. I believe God. When God says something, I believe him. Faith stands under hope. When somebody says, I know I'm going to heaven, he can say that because his hope is not baseless. His hope is built on the foundation of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And then it says the evidence of things not seen. It's an inner conviction. Faith is the inner conviction that what God has promised, he will perform even without seeing it. The scribes and the Pharisees would often come to Jesus and they said, I'm quoting here in Matthew chapter 12, we would see a sign from thee. But Jesus answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. They were constantly saying, we want to see something. We want to see a sign. We want to see you do something. That aptly describes our generation. Experience-oriented Christianity. Coming to church to get a high. You're not going to get a high from a message like this. You're not going to get a high from a service like this. You're not going to get a high with the old-fashioned songs we sing here, because we are not here to give you a high. You're here to get God's word. We can have the drums and the guitars and everything up here to give you a high so that you can leave on an emotional high and drop tomorrow. Faith does not ask to see, to feel, to taste, to touch. Jesus said to Thomas, remember doubting Thomas? Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Faith enables us to see what others do not see. Faith is not that little phrase, well, seeing is believing. Faith enables you to see what others do not see. Here, right here in Hebrews chapter 11, go down to verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not, he hadn't seen these things. What hadn't Noah seen? He had never seen rain. Did you know that there was no rain at the time of Noah? The ground was watered from what came from underneath, the dew and so forth. There had not been rain. And yet God said there's going to be a flood, a worldwide flood. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of those things that he had never seen before, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Imagine building an ark, building a ship on dry land. No water's even near. Noah, what are you doing? You're building a what? What is an ark? Well, it's a ship. What are ships for, Noah? Well, they're for floating on water. Hey, Noah, have you ever looked around? There is no water. Imagine his building this ark for at least 100 years. Moved with fear, by faith, being warned of God of things he had never seen. Faith is not seeing. Faith is taking God's word for it and believing what God says. Look at verse 13. These all died in faith. It's talking about Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, and Sarah. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Now, that doesn't mean that they saw them with their physical eye. They saw them with their spiritual eye. It was faith. Go down to verse 27. By faith, this is talking about Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. How do you see somebody who's invisible? You don't. That's why it says as seeing him who is invisible. Faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. If I were to ask you if you've ever seen heaven, you would have to say, no, I've never seen it. Now, some people would say, I had an experience. I saw heaven. You did not. But you have not seen heaven, so how should you know it is to be desired? You have not seen hell, so how should you know it is to be shunned? Well, take a chance and say a prayer. That's not faith, folks. Genuine faith is not dabbling in all kinds of religions to cover the bases in case one does not work. It's like the Hindus. They have millions of gods. I've been there in Sri Lanka and gone to the temples, and they've got these temples built with these statue and idol after idol. It just blows your mind. There are so many gods that they have in case this one doesn't work. And folks, this is really how most people live today. They live trying this and trying that and believing this and believing that, they say. And none of it is faith. Because faith is exclusive. Genuine faith is believing to the exclusion of all else. That I am saved by faith alone. In only Jesus Christ, to the exclusion of everything else. I am not saved by baptism. I am not saved by sacraments. I am not saved by my works. I read this illustration that Charles Spurgeon once told over 100 years ago. He said this: some years ago, two men were in a boat and found themselves unable to manage the stupendous falls of Niagara. Persons on the shore saw them, but were unable to do much for their rescue. At last, however, one man was saved by floating a rope to him, which he grasped. The same instant the rope came into his hand, a log floated by the other man. Instead of seizing the rope, that man laid hold on the log. It was a fatal mistake. The one was drawn to shore because he had a connection with the people on the land, while the other, clinging to the log, was borne irresistibly along and was never heard of afterwards. Do you not see here a practical illustration? Faith is connection with Christ. Christ is on the shore, so to speak, holding the rope of faith, and if we lay hold of it with the hand of our confidence, he pulls us to shore. But our good works, having no connection with Christ, are drifted along down the gulf of despair. Grapple them as tightly as we may, even with hooks of steel, they cannot avail us in the least degree. Faith, folks, is taking hold of the rope that Jesus Christ throws out to you and letting go of everything else. Trusting him to get me to shore. Somebody once said that true Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. Your circumstances may seem impossible. Your consequences may be terrifying or unknown. And yet confidence in God's word exceeds and overcomes. So I obey in spite of the consequences or the circumstances in which I may find myself. So the first thing about faith, or the first thing about pleasing God, is that faith is required. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. But here's the second thing. Faith demonstrated. It says then, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's faith demonstrated. Faith is only as good as its object. Everybody has faith. That's why it kind of humors me when people say, well, you know, I've got faith. We tend to think, okay, we're thinking they have faith in God. But everybody has faith. So never, please, don't ever just tell somebody, well, I'm a man of faith. Everybody's a man of faith. Every woman is a woman of faith. The question is, who is the object of your faith? It's almost like the Thanksgiving we were talking about last Sunday. Thanksgiving must have an object, or it's not giving thanks. You're just simply being thankful. Faith always has an object. The question is, what is the object of your faith? In other words, what are you trusting? If you say, I hope to go to heaven, the object of your faith is chance. The fact that you are a good person, then where's your faith? What are you trusting? You're trusting in yourself. How can you truly come to someone who does not exist? How can you walk up to somebody who does not exist? Let me ask it this way. Can you say you have been to a place if that place does not exist? We're thinking ethereally now. You can't go to a place that does not exist. And yet this says here, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, how can you come to God if he does not exist? He that cometh to God must believe that, and here's what's interesting, he is. He is what? It doesn't say. It just says must believe that he is. That word, that phrase is similar to what you see in the Old Testament where God says, I am that I am. I am the self-existent one. I exist because of who I am. I am the one who exists by myself. Nobody brought me into being. I am that I am. If you're going to have faith, if you're going to please God, you cannot do it without faith, because without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. God either exists or he doesn't. If you're going to come to God, you must first believe that he is, that he exists. You say you believe that God exists? Good. Faith then is demonstrated by accepting what God says is truth. For example, go back to verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith, I believe you, Lord. How did this world get here? You look at the Rockies, and every morning when I come down this road, come into this church, when it's a sunny day anyway, I see those snow-capped mountains, and it's like, oh, I just love that. Because it's the majesty of God. And that just so happened to be there. That just evolved somehow. That was some ice age thing. You know, all the things that people say. Bible says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Let there be, and there was. No man was present when God created this world, but God was here. And yet many place faith in men who were not there to see it, rather than place their faith in him who was there. When you look at science, for a conclusion to be scientific, there must be an observer to confirm it. Who was there to confirm that God made the world? What man was there? Men are still trying to discover how the earth, how the universe got here. Something that faith understands fully and clearly. You leave God out of creation and you have nothing but confusion. Scientists call that confusion evolution, which is not scientific, but an atheistic philosophy which denies the existence of God. We're back to that. You must believe that he is. To believe that there is a God makes you responsible. And this is why men don't want to believe him. I once saw a bumper sticker that said, "You don't believe there's a God? You better be right." It makes you responsible. It makes you realize one day I've got to give an account. If God created me, I'm going to stand before him one day. I'm going to give an account of myself. If there is no God, then there is no right and wrong. Hello? Does that remind you of what it's like today? Why is it there is no right and wrong? Because there is no God. There is no one to whom I must give an account. Everything is by vote. Everything is by public opinion. That's why what used to be murder is now called abortion or choice. There is no right. There is no wrong. Don't you folks know you're behind the times? Get with it. It's a woman's choice today. Accept it. That's why what is rightly called queer, perverted, unnatural, sodomy is now simply called orientation. Confusion when you leave God out of the picture. When the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, you know what? I believe it. When the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And I believe it. When I read in Colossians 1, 16 and 17, and Isaiah 45, 12, and Psalm 100 and verse 3, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And when I read Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 about the fact that creation is proof and men have no excuse because of what God has created, you know what? I believe God. Noah believed that God is. Enoch believed that God is. Abraham believed that God is. Moses, Gideon, David, Samuel, Daniel, all of those people are mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11. They all believe that God is. There are some who say that they're saved from hell because they believe in God, and yet they believe in evolution. Folks, that's a tragic inconsistency to say that you believe in evolution, because that requires faith in man, not in God, for you to then think you're saved. If God doesn't have the power to create you and this world, he doesn't have the power to save you either. In this very same book, I can look at it right across the page of my Bible. It says in Hebrews 10, verse 38, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." If God does exist, how then do you know what he is like? How can you approach him? In other words, come to him, as it says there in Hebrews 11, 6, he that cometh to God. How can you get to him? Where do I get the faith? How do I know where to place that faith? Where's the answer? It's right here in the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by, out loud please, it's by the word of God. I'll tell you why a lot of people doubt their salvation. They're not in the word. They're reading the latest book by somebody, but they're not in the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by reading John MacArthur or whoever else. No, it's by reading the word of God. The question is not do you have enough faith, but where have you placed your faith? It is by faith that we are saved. For by grace are you saved? Through? Christ dwells in our heart by faith. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. The life of the believer is lived by faith. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We overcome the world by faith, 1 John 5:4 and 5. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith required. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Faith demonstrated. And thirdly, faith rewarded. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, you don't come to God in vain. His promises are not deceptions. Here's what David said in 1 Chronicles 28:9. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. People will sometimes say, how do you know? What about that man who's there in the deep, dark jungles of Africa who's never heard the gospel before? Number one, they have creation. They know. They know somebody created this world. And I believe, according to the Bible, if you seek him, he'll be found of you. And I believe when a man or a woman truly seeks to know the truth, God will make sure that they hear the truth. Psalm 9:10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Jeremiah 29:13-14, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. God is only found through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Hebrews 7:25. John 6:35. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. How do you come to God? Where is that reward when you come to God? Through Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I ask you this morning, is God pleased with you? Are you pleasing God? You say, man, I'm really trying. Then forget it. It doesn't come from you trying. Well, I really try to be good. Then forget it. You're not pleasing him. You cannot please him if you're not trusting him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith is required. If you are truly trusting God, it'll be known by everybody because faith will be demonstrated. It'll be demonstrated practically. You believe what he says. You believe that he created this world. You believe that he created you. And you must accept his Son. Tremendous reward. Peace beyond understanding. No darkness. There's purpose in this life. There's eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, his Son.